Welcome to the FTN NBA Podcast with your hosts, Adam Pfeiffer and Joe Metz. Presented by the FTN Network, this two-man fast break runs you through the best cash and tournament options for every game on today's slate.
What is up, everybody? We are back here with the FTN NBA Podcast, Fantasy Basketball. Adam Pfeiffer, joined once again by Kyle Murray. We are back. Joe is out of town, so Kyle's going to be filling in for not just yesterday, today, but the rest of the week. So, got plenty of basketball here. We had a great all-day slate of games in the NBA. A little bit of madness, but Kyle, I think overall we did pretty good on the podcast last night, and hopefully keep that magic going here on Tuesday. What's going on?
Yeah, man, I'm glad I got the invitation back. Apparently, that means I didn't mess anything up.
Yeah,
too much.
You got the call up, and now you're with the you're with the big league club, and let's see if you know where your batting average stands by the end of the week.
Yeah, but I'm excited, man. This was a good first day. A little bit up and down with some of the DFS plays, you know, with the Porzingis ejection that we kind of been talking about a little bit.
Egregious.
No. Yeah, it's tough to see for sure. So hopefully the Tuesday slate is another good one, and we can have a fun day of NBA sweating. Hopefully we get, you know, both the sites working properly. That'd be great.
Also egregious.
Yeah.
I just want to thank Jamal Murray because I was a little worried at first, and then he turned up massively. That game was super fun. Fred VanVleet, awesome. There was a handful of underwhelming guys for sure as well. The Porzingis ejection, brutal, absolutely brutal. It's crazy because I saw it on Twitter, and a lot of, you know, fantasy football guys that don't follow the NBA were even talking about it. Like, it was that bad. So hopefully we don't have any awful ejections here. The game-by-game article was done by me on Monday. It'll be Joe Metz on Tuesday. So you'll have his breakdown of the four games. I saw you hopped on the stream with Eddie Monday morning. Not sure if you're on again for Tuesday, but that stream, you need to be checking that all the time, because not only is Eddie one of the best DFS NBA minds in the business, you also get the added fact that you can hop in the Discord and ask questions, and Eddie and everybody will answer them. And then, of course, you have your projections, your player raters, and everything, which are a big part of FTN. So I'm assuming that's what you're going to have again here tomorrow?
Yep, same stuff with the projections and the ownership and the player rater. And I will be on the stream with Eddie again on Tuesday. I think that's the last one I'm doing for the week. So I guess my voice will be on this, and then I'll have all my articles and projections and whatnot. So, yeah, I think probably have that up early in the morning, maybe late tonight, depending on how much I can get done. So, yeah.
Awesome. So make sure everybody's checking out the content at FTN Fantasy, FTN Bets, FTN Daily. And this podcast, by the way, just got added to iTunes today or Monday, whenever you're listening to this. So do us a favor, go rate it, review it, and subscribe to it. Helps us out. And I know a lot of people are asking, when is it on iTunes? When is it on iTunes? It is on iTunes now. So huge step, and it'll be a lot easier to listen. Let's get to this four-game Tuesday slate. A pretty big one. You have a lot of studs in the slate. You have Giannis. You have LeBron. You have Anthony Davis. You have Damian Lillard. And, of course, you have James Harden without Russell Westbrook, which is always the focal point of a slate, especially a four-gamer. So that'll be interesting. But we'll start with Orlando and Milwaukee. Injury news. Terrence Ross and Evan Fournier, they were out to end the regular season. Ross was away from the team. Fournier was sick. They're both back. But Aaron Gordon, who's been dealing with a hamstring injury, he went through practice Sunday, got reevaluated prior to Monday's practice, and he's looking like a true game-time decision. They're hopeful he'll play. Of course, this is the earliest game, so we'll know, you know, well ahead of time, so we should be fine. And, of course, Jonathan Isaac, you know, not coming back. It's a huge loss for Orlando. And Markelle Fultz will remain in the starting lineup. We got that report. Michael Carter-Williams expected to sit. Total for this game, as it stands, a 225. Orlando 12.5-point underdogs against, you know, arguably the best team in the NBA. Let's start with Orlando. A huge pace up spot. Orlando's one of the slowest paced teams in basketball. Milwaukee's the fastest paced team in the league, especially with Giannis healthy, because he's just, you know, he's been league leader in transition points all year. So it's a good spot in that regard. They're obviously facing one of the best defensive units in the league. Vucevic, usually the key guy. 8,800 on DraftKings is a little bit tough to stomach here. You have the fact that you know the floor is always going to be there for Nikola Vucevic. He's going to give you 40 fantasy points more often than not. But there are some deterring factors here. You know, you have the matchup against this team. You have the fact that Brook Lopez will tend to drag opposing centers away from the basket. And the price isn't that great. So I love playing Vucevic. Maybe he's more appealing if Aaron Gordon is rolled out. But how do you view him at this high price tag in this matchup and the rest of the Orlando team?
Yeah, he's just not quite a priority for me on a slate where I would ideally like to spend down at center to be able to pay up for these guys that we're going to talk about at the top of the pricing section. So a lot of studs on the slate, like you mentioned, and a lot of guys that are in really good spots. So I'm probably going to be looking to spend down at the center position. Now, I don't think he's that bad on FanDuel. He's 7'9 over there. And, you know, you only have to play one center. You really don't want to mess that up. So, you kind of get a feeling of stability there. He should play, you know, mid-30s minutes. I gave him 34 minutes. So I think that's a pretty solid mark for him. If he hits that number, he'll probably have a pretty solid day. But I think, you know, his ceiling doesn't quite add up or match anybody, really, when it comes to guys that are above him. So probably off of Vooch. I like Fultz a pretty good amount. Awesome to see that he's going to be back in the starting lineup, kind of a guy that they – ease throughout the restart. So I think he's a really strong play. That price on DraftKings is very low, 4,200. I think he's a very strong play over there. He's one of the top point per dollar plays for me. And I like Fournier as well. Price too low, I think, on both sites, FanDuel and DraftKings. You mentioned it. He's been a guy that has not hesitated to get shots up against the Bucks in throughout the last four games, I think you mentioned before we started recording. So yeah, I like Fournier a lot. Projected him for 34 minutes as well. And at that price tag on both sides, I think he's a strong play. Gordon is someone that I'm interested about. You know, obviously he's going to be a game time decision. It's going to come down to where we think he's going to play, you know, based on if he's going to be fully healthy or not. Now, he's a guy that I think would typically be a guy that they run out for nearly 40 minutes if there were no restrictions on that. But, you know, it's been a lingering hamstring injury, so I'm not quite confident on that. So I'd probably be off of Gordon as well. So it's mainly just Fultz and Fournier for me on the Magic side of things.
Has anybody been on the injury report in DFS this year more than Aaron Gordon?
No.
I feel like he's always on there. And obviously yeah. Dudes are, you know, like get like Kawhi and guys that are resting all the time. But like he's interesting because, you know, earlier on in the year, he was consistently playing the three, which was really hurting his upside because of his rebounds weren't there. He's playing the four now, assuming he's active, and that's given him way more consistent rebounding totals. And, you know, against Giannis, yes, there is some concern because Giannis is just an all-world player, can generate foul issues. But he's also a guy that's going to the rim on every play. So Gordon's going to be around the rim for rebounds. And if Vucevic is being pulled away from the rim with Brook Lopez, I mean, he could have like an 11-rebound game here, and I wouldn't be surprised. So I have some interest at 6,700, of course, if he's active. Fournier is my favorite player from this team pretty easily, though. We saw it yesterday where, you know, guys either haven't played or we're seeing limited minutes prior to these games, and DraftKings has priced him down. Fournier should never be under probably like 5,500, 5,400, and he's under 5K now. This Milwaukee team, the way they defend, they force you to take a lot of threes, which obviously aren't the highest percentage of shots, but they are the highest upside shots in fantasy, especially on a site like DraftKings. Fournier in four meetings against this team is averaging 8 three-point attempts per game. He's also averaging 20.5 real points per game. And Milwaukee is giving up 38.6% of their points this year from three, highest rate in the NBA. That's a big part of Fournier's game. I like him a lot at 4,900. No issue going to Fultz. His usage is going to come way down, obviously, because he, you know, his usage rate was spiked in that last game because everybody sat for Orlando, and then Vucevic only played like the first half. But at 4,200, he should play, I mean, 27 to 30 minutes seems like a safe projection. And he's been a sneaky, decent peripheral guy for much of the season. So I definitely like him as a value play. I will probably struggle getting to Vucevic, but if you do, I don't think you're crazy. He's just always a safe guy, but you need a little bit more upside at his price right now. And then I guess the other question is, if Gordon sits, any James Ennis or Wes Iwundu, both have been playing pretty heavy minutes during the bubble.
Yeah, I think the guy for me would be Iwundu. You know, he's 3-2 on DraftKings. I don't think I see myself getting to either one of them on FanDuel. They're both, Ennis is 4K and Iwundu's 4-2. I think there are some solid mid-range options at small forward on FanDuel, and then obviously we'll have Giannis and LeBron to talk about. So I probably don't see myself getting to those two guys on FanDuel. Maybe pump plays on DraftKings if Gordon were to sit. I assume that Awundu and Ennis could play pretty solid minutes, like you mentioned. We've seen it throughout the bubble. But for the most part, I think it would mainly just be good news for guys like Terrence Ross, Fournier, and Fultz. Obviously, Vooch and Fournier are probably going to get theirs either way. But for Ross to be able to, you know, obviously be playing with that second unit, probably pick up a few extra minutes in that with that first team as well. And Fultz probably get a little bit additional usage as well. So I feel like it'd be more boost to the guys that we're already talking about, not necessarily guys like Ennis and Wondu or Birch.
Yeah, I'll get to some Terrence Ross if Gordon sits at 4,500. But overall, I just think if you can get to Fournier for a little bit more, you'll feel a lot safer. Milwaukee, I mean, where does Giannis rank for you on this slate? It's really interesting. He's 10-5, which is really cheap for him. I don't want to say really cheap, but it's underpriced for Giannis. And you have James Harden without Westbrook on this slate. You have LeBron and AD in maybe the best matchup in fantasy, not counting maybe the Wizards, in smash spots, obviously. And then you have Giannis. Like I said, like where does he kind of rank for you? Because highest spread game on the slate, I believe, 12.5-point favorites. You know, Milwaukee's going to play fast regardless, but I mean, it's a pace down spot for Milwaukee against anybody because they're first in pace, but it's a massive pace down spot. And, you know, Orlando is a pretty solid defensive team. Now, obviously, with Isaac out, that hurts. And if Aaron Gordon's out, that hurts. And Giannis is matchup proof. But it's really I'm really interested to see what his ownership is going to be on the slate.
Yeah. So right now, Giannis is my second highest projected player on the slate. He's 3 points behind Harden and 3 points above LeBron. Those are the top three for me. But for me, I think the biggest thing when we're talking about Giannis is I agree with you, he's going to be in a pace down spot. The Magic do play pretty slow, and they are pretty solid defensively. But none of that matters for Giannis, and the big thing that matters for Giannis is that it's a playoff game. So the minutes are going to go up. If the game stays close, I think he's probably easily the second best play on the slate. I wouldn't even be surprised if he's going to be near the top end of the 30-minute range, could potentially start competing with Harden. And obviously, Harden's going to be in a smash spot with no Westbrook. So I projected Giannis for 36 minutes. And obviously, I don't project blowouts when I'm doing minutes. So that's if the game were to go according to plan for DFS players. So if the game stays close, I think Giannis is an amazing play. And I don't like to play that narrative too much unless I'm really confident in the blowout. And in the playoffs, I won't be playing that narrative ever. So the way I'm kind of approaching it is that Giannis is going to be my number two priority on the slate. The only thing that's causing an issue with Giannis is the positional stuff on FanDuel, where small forwards, there's kind of some pretty solid plays in that mid to low range. And then we have Anthony Davis at the power forward position to where I can kind of pay up there and then find that mid-range to value range there. But for me on DraftKings, that 10-5 price tag is very enticing. I would be doing all I can to find Giannis in lineups with Harden. So I'm completely different than I was yesterday where I kind of wanted to approach it with a mid-range kind of aspect, which would have worked out if I would have had more Donovan Mitchell. But today I'm the opposite. I'm trying to find some value plays. I want to have two of these four studs in my lineups no matter what. I think they're all in great spots and great plays. So I'm trying to find some cool value plays to make that work.
Yeah, I agree. Giannis, you know, at 10-5, you know, play him against anybody. I don't really care. And again, like you mentioned, they were limiting him a lot in the regular season if they could. And this is the playoffs now. So outside of Giannis, I love Brook Lopez at 4,700. He's been really good for pretty much all year. I mean, his rebound numbers are going to be a little bit lacking at times because Giannis is such a big rebounder. And Brook plays away from the basket a lot. But his shot blocking has been consistent all year. You don't project a guy to have 4 or 5 blocks, but Brook Lopez has that in his arsenal this year, right? For sure. And in this game. At 47, Brook Lopez is a guy, anytime he's like, you know, under 5,500, I'll play him. At 4,700, I love him in this game. I mean, you mentioned with Vucevic how you're looking to spend down the center. I mean, there's a handful of options, and Brook Lopez is definitely one of them. Thoughts on the rest of the Bucks? Eric Bledsoe, I believe, is 5,400. And then Middleton, it's, you know, right at that $7,300 range.
Yeah, I don't think I found myself getting to Middleton, but he is another guy that's going to benefit from the playoff atmosphere where probably going to play mid to upper 30s. I gave him 37, so maybe that's a little bit aggressive, but I'll be surprised if he's not in that 35 to 38 range if the game were to stay close. But for Bledsoe, I think you can definitely go here. He's a guy that they might be, you know, a little bit easy on with the minutes. He's not never been a guy that even in close games, big games, where he goes out and plays, you know, near 40 minutes. I give him 32. I think that's more than enough to pay off the price tag that he has on DraftKings and potentially even FanDuel. 5'8" on FanDuel and then 5'4" on DraftKings. Brook Lopez, you mentioned it. He kind of fits the mold that I'm looking for today, where he's under, not necessarily underpriced, but he's cheaper than, you know, the top end options. And I think it's a, I think he's fairly priced for sure. So I would actually say he's underpriced on DraftKings.
I was going to say, I think he's underpriced.
Yeah, underpriced on DraftKings, I would say fairly priced on FanDuel, where he's 5'8". So yeah, I probably like Lopez more on DraftKings, but I'm definitely okay with it on FanDuel. And the way that I'm feeling my lineups are going to go is probably a guy from Orlando. And so maybe it would make sense to have a guy with Giannis paired with Lopez and, you know, kind of hope for a close game in this one.
Yeah, I agree. I really like Brook Lopez and Fournier and Fultz from this game if you're looking for some value. And I probably won't have much or any of Vucevic or McCollum, or not McCollum, Middleton. Middleton, he's not expensive for Giannis being active. He's not really cheap either. He's kind of fairly priced. He's somebody I always am afraid to fully fade when Giannis is healthy because he's still a really good player. But let's go to Miami and Indiana. This is a really interesting game. You have the TJ Warren, Jimmy Butler narrative, and now all of a sudden TJ Warren is legitimately questionable. He's got plantar fasciitis. That's pretty scary considering I believe that's what Domantas Sabonis is dealing with, and he's not playing. Now, it's a little bit different. Sabonis is a big man, but that's a little bit worrisome. He's questionable. We already know Sabonis is out. Like, Sabonis was top 10 in touches per game. He was running this offense. Then, during the bubble, we know TJ Warren took over. If he can't play, and it's a limited sample, but with Warren off the floor in the bubble, it's a pretty clear idea of who this offense is, you know, revolving around. A 32.5% usage rate for Brogdon and a 32.5% usage rate for Victor Oladipo.
Yeah, I agree. I actually was a little bit surprised to see him be truly questionable. I kind of figured we'd get more news today where he, because he practiced Sunday, so I kind of assumed he would be, you know, on the up and up. But you're right; it's definitely looking like a truly questionable spot for Warren. Either way, I think my interest in Oladipo and Brogdon are still going to be there. I think this is the spot for Oladipo. I think this is where we see the true Victor Oladipo that we saw 2 years ago carry the Pacers to the playoffs. I think I project him for 36 minutes. I think this is a spot where he finally, you know, breaks out. And yeah, we've seen some games for him where he, you know, goes out and shows out. But I think Oladipo is the play for the Pacers today. I love him. I think the price is extremely affordable, extremely appealing. 6'1 on FanDuel, 6'2 on DraftKings. He's going to be a guy that I'm looking to get to a lot. And you mentioned it with no Sabonis and no TJ Warren. Even if you just take Sabonis off the floor, the usage numbers are going to go up, the assist rate's going to go up, and even the rebound rate goes up. So I like Oladipo a lot. I like Brogdon too. I like Brogdon a lot. If Warren's out, I don't mind pairing Brogdon and Oladipo together. And then I don't even hate Miles Turner. I like this game a lot, actually, from a perspective, just from a minutes perspective, because I have the Pacers at a 9-man rotation currently.
Right.
And that's with Jakar Sampson just getting 10 minutes, just kind of back up Miles Turner a bit at the center. I left Goga out of the rotation.
Do you have Warren projected in right now?
Yeah, I'm projected in right now.
Okay, I was going to say, Jakar Sampson's probably going to start, I would imagine, if Warren's out, because they've played him at the four a lot. And they could be really shorthanded here.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, if Warren is out, this rotation changes entirely, but I still think it would probably still be a 9-man rotation. I feel like Sampson and Justin Holiday would just get those additional minutes, and then Goga would just slide in where I had Jakar right now. So either way, I think they are going to be pretty, you know, the rotation will be pretty tight. So I like this team a lot, and my main interest is Oladipo, and if Warren sits, it'll only be better. So I love Oladipo today, and I like Turner as well. I think the price on Turner on FanDuel is pretty nice, 6'7" on FanDuel. Don't really love it on DraftKings. Like, you can kind of just say, okay, I'm just going to play Brook Lopez for almost half the price over on DraftKings. So it's more of just a FanDuel play, but Turner's interesting. Plus, on FanDuel, you get that 3 points for the blocks, which we know Turner can rack up. So I like that there.
I think for me, if TJ Warren plays, I prefer Oladipo over Brogdon. If he sits, I prefer Brogdon. Because Brogdon is a guy that touches the ball a lot in the first place. You know, in the regular season, he was, you know, right around 77 touches per game, which is like 16th in the league. Sabonis was at 88 per game. He was 6th in the league. So he already gets a bump in touches without Sabonis. And then if Warren's out, I think it's literally going to be, you know, Brogdon. I mean, you can play, like, if Warren sits, you can play both. I just think they're going to be that concentrated of an offense. But I do think Brogdon, because, you know, Oladipo, they didn't have Brogdon last year, and they didn't really have anybody in the backcourt to take work away from Oladipo. It's going to be both of them, though. It's pretty clear. And Oladipo is cheaper. And they were already ramping up his minutes heading into the playoffs to get him ready for the playoffs. So I don't think they're going to have an issue playing him 35 minutes here. Not really on Turner on DraftKings. I don't love the price. And he's another guy that, like, if he was more of a consistent rebounder, I'd be more willing to pay the price for him. But he's another guy who, and again, was a big reason was Sabonis was such an efficient rebounder all year. So that helped hurt his rebound. So he should be better. But in a tougher matchup, I'd probably go elsewhere on DraftKings. Any value guys stand out to you at all if Warren's out? Like, Jakar Sampson might start. He's not the most appealing fantasy player, but the minutes could be there. He's only 3,100. You know, it's kind of gross.
Yeah, I think Justin Holiday would.
Justin Holiday, right?
Yeah, I think Holiday would make for a pretty solid value option. You could go McDermott as a kind of a value pivot, I guess. I do think Holiday would end up being pretty popular if you were to, you know, fill in for Warren or whatever it may be, whatever they might do. But yeah, I have him at 22 minutes right now. So if Warren goes out, I would feel pretty confident to say that he'll hit 30. Now, if Warren plays, I guess I should talk about this real quick. I don't like Warren at all on either side, and I believe you mentioned that as well. So the price tag on him is just really high, and you're getting to a point where, you know, on FanDuel, you're at 7.5, where you're kind of creeping up to LeBron territory. On DraftKings, you're at 8K, where you're almost 2,000 away from that price range, where you can just kind of find the money to make that work. And the upside is clearly better going to those other two guys. So no Warren for me if he does suit up. And then I think Justin Holiday would be a guy that could benefit. I actually think Aaron Holiday is going to be in play whether or not Warren plays. I have him at 32 minutes right now. Maybe that's kind of why it could be a potential reason I'm not as high on Brogdon compared to Oladipo. I think Holiday, you know, you have to play one of those guys. If you were to have interest in the Pacers point guards, you only play one of them unless you want to pair them together on FanDuel. And, you know, if you only do one of those guys, probably lean Brogdon, obviously from a raw points perspective. But if you need the salary, I don't mind Aaron Holiday by any means.
Yeah, and another reason I probably won't get to any TJ Warren on DraftKings is because Jimmy Butler is $400 cheaper, who kind of dominated when these teams last played. There was a lot of hype around Warren versus Butler, and TJ Warren definitely won that battle. I mean, 50 fantasy points in just 29 minutes. Him and Bam Adebayo all year, I've rarely seen spots where it's like both these guys are smash plays or the first guys I put in my lineup, but when they're both under 8K on DraftKings, they're really hard to not like. I mean, Bam at 7,400, he gives you every single peripheral imaginable. And Jimmy Butler does the same, and at 7,600. I think both are firmly in play. I mean, the rest of this team, we got the news that Kendrick Nunn's going to come off the bench. I mean, Goran Dragic's only 4,400.
Yeah, I love Dragic in this one. Coming into the playoffs, this was a team that I was concerned about when projecting minutes because I really wasn't sure what they were going to do. You know, we kind of saw them run Hero and Nunn out there in that last game. But Hero really played well to kind of close out the season. So I was afraid that he might be a guy that picks up more minutes when I wasn't really counting on that. And I would kind of just throw up what I had for the playoff rotation. So right now I have Hero at 21, and then Kendrick Nunn at 20. So I just don't see them getting a ton of minutes. I think Crowder will get the minutes. Robinson will get the minutes. And then Dragic I have at 32 minutes. So I think Dragic is a really strong play. Even the price on FanDuel isn't bad, 5.7, but the price on DraftKings is just really cheap. I think you can come down to either deciding between Dragic or Fultz or even playing both of them. So, yeah, I think he's a really strong play. I love Bam as a player, and I think he's a really strong DFS player. Like you mentioned, he can kind of do everything. And so I'm a big fan of Bam. We've kind of been talking about the Pacers as their matchup versus centers, and they're pretty bad against centers, despite being a pretty solid defensive team. So I like Bam a lot today. I think he'll be pretty low-owned, and he's going to be a guy that I'm looking to get in a pretty good amount of lineups. The only issue is on FanDuel. Kind of want to have some interest in AD over there, so maybe on lineups where I have Giannis or LeBron, it'll be a lineup where I have Bam. So I like Bam a lot. I like Jimmy Butler a lot. I like Dragic a lot, but after that, no real interest in the rest of these Heat guys.
Yeah, Bam Adebayo, by the way, if he doesn't win Most Improved Player of the Year, I'm I'm calling somebody. I know Luka's on the ballot or whatever. He even admitted he shouldn't be on there. I know Brandon Ingram has had a really nice year. It's Bam's award, let's be honest. And the ADVP tool, which is my favorite tool perhaps on FTN, shows you the traits for these players. I mean, Bam has so many traits. He has six traits. Dimer, primary ball handler, and if people are wondering why, he gets defensive rebounds and plays point guard a lot. He's that talented of a player. But he has dimer and primary ball handler and crafty finisher, where Indiana's good. But then he has rim protector, where the Pacers are 30th, so they're dead last. Skilled center, they're 25th. And rebounder, they're 27th. So really sneaky good spot for Bam Adebayo. I agree. Let's go to the Thunder and Rockets. This is going to be a really fun series, especially because you have the, you know, Chris Paul's former team, Russell Westbrook's former team, all that good stuff. But the fact that the Rockets, or the Thunder, were like, nobody expected them to make the playoffs. Everybody thought Chris Paul was going to be like a buyout candidate or something, or a trade. Yeah. Like, it was, they've been really impressive. But it should be a fun game here. Russell Westbrook is out, so James Harden, you know, is he just the guy that you have to plug in your lineup immediately? The early line is a 227 total, with the Thunder favored by a point and a half. So really juicy game for fantasy purposes. Since the restart, there's been 155 minutes of James Harden without Westbrook on the floor. Usage rate, 38.6%. Oh, by the way, he's over 2 fantasy points per minute.
Yeah, it's very hard not to play Harden in this one. He's going to be popular. He's the most expensive player on the slate, but it's very hard not to play him. Like, we saw it in the restart when we were worried about minutes, and people were saying, I don't care, he can play 20 minutes. I'm playing James Harden because he can go for 50, and nobody would even bat an eye at that. So it's very hard not to play Harden. He's going to be a priority for me. I'm going to have him in every single lineup, I would assume. In my two main lineups on each site, he will for sure be in that lineup, or in both lineups. So I like Harden a lot. I have him at 39 minutes. I wouldn't be surprised if he is in 41 or 42 minutes even. I think they're going to run him to the ground pretty much, and I don't think that'll be an issue for Harden. The usage will be there, obviously. The production will be there. I just think he's a lock, and I don't think that's really a surprise anyway. I think he's going to be over probably 70% owned on pretty much every contest. So if you wanted to potentially fade because of that, I can never blame that, but I won't be doing that myself. After that, the minutes are pretty indecisive for me on guys like Eric Gordon and then some of these other wings. I give Eric Gordon 30. I don't know if you have an opinion on that, but we saw kind of where he was going to be limited throughout the last two games in the restart, where they kind of wanted him to get some minutes. I think if he gets 30 minutes, he's a very strong play. So Stefano's actually been working on a splits tool in the back end, and he sent me the link to it today, and so I was looking at that. And Eric Gordon has a 29% almost a 29% usage rate with Westbrook off the floor. So that's going to be a really high usage rate for Eric Gordon, because there's really nobody else that's going to have a usage rate over James Harden. So obviously it's going to be a little bit different because we're going to see James Harden on the floor almost the entire game. But still, Gordon, if he's in the mid-20s in usage, I think he can get there. At the 4-5 price tag on FanDuel, I think is very, very nice. And then the 5-5 price tag on DraftKings isn't bad either. So Eric Gordon's probably my second favorite play from the Rockets side. And then a guy like Daniel House, don't hate that either. I probably don't play Covington because the price is just a little bit too high for me.
I think I like Covington a little bit more than you. He's not a priority, but if I love my lineup and I see 6,500 left, I'm perfectly fine with playing Covington. Yeah. I think Westbrook being out helps him more than Harden would, because Westbrook is a guy that'll chase rebounds more than Harden will. And since Covington's playing so much power forward for this team, he's been seeing, like I talked about it a couple podcasts ago, he's seeing about 4 more rebounding opportunities per game since he was traded to the Rockets, because he's just consistently playing power forward for this team. I'm fine with him. House is okay. He's not even that cheap, though. He's 5,700. I do agree Eric Gordon is definitely in play. And if House were out, that would obviously help Gordon's minutes, but I think the 30-minute projection is about right, because we don't really see like huge minutes from Eric Gordon very often. Ben McLemore is going to get run. Austin Rivers, any of those guys stand out at all? I mean, they're also, you know, not exactly cheap, because Rivers and McLemore have had big roles since Westbrook's been sitting out a handful of these games and Harden's, you know, missed a couple.
Yeah, I think those guys are pretty much unplayable on DraftKings, where, like you mentioned, the end of that restart kind of bump their price up.
Right, I
think,
like, I would just I'd rather play Fournier or whoever we talked about earlier.
Yeah, I think McLemore is fine on FanDuel, where he's 3,700. But that's pretty much only if you think Gordon or House aren't going to get like significant runs. So I gave Gordon 30 minutes and House 33 minutes, and then that left me with about 22 to 23 minutes for McLemore. So if you think you can get it done in those minutes, I don't hate it, but I feel like you can find better options there or around that price range on FanDuel. You might just have to do a little bit of positional shifting. So I think it's McLemore would be the only one that I really have interest in, and that would be only on FanDuel, but it's not a ton of interest by any means.
PJ Tucker's unplayable, right? He's center only eligible on DraftKings. He's pretty much unplayable there.
Yeah, unless you're trying to punt that. Like, say you punt center.
Yeah, I guess this isn't the worst slate for, because like if it was Monday's slate, like no thanks. You know, waste a center spot on PJ Tucker when you have Embiid and those guys, but it's a little different on this slate.
Yeah, on DraftKings, I think it's tough because, you know, Brook Lopez is only 600 more, and obviously Brook Lopez has a ton more upside. But on FanDuel, he's 3,700. He's going to play maybe 40 minutes.
Yeah.
Now, I don't think he's great. I don't think he packs a ton of upside. But if he gets you 6X, which I haven't projected for right now, at, you know, at 23 points, he's 6X. So if he does that, then you could potentially be looking at a lineup with Harden, Giannis, and maybe even AD. So that's enticing for me. So I would say probably don't love him on DraftKings, and he's in play, I guess, on FanDuel. I just don't love it, though, because at center, I hate just punting the position because you only get one on FanDuel. Mm-hmm. And on DraftKings, I don't think you need to do that because you can find 600 to get to Brook Lopez.
Let's go to the Thunder side. You know, should be a relatively fast-paced game. Chris Paul, 7,700. We saw him, I mean, it doesn't matter now, we're in the playoffs, but we started to see him get more minutes when Schroeder was out. Schroeder's back. I mean, these guys are going to play pretty substantial minutes here. Their prices are all pretty fair, I would say. Like, this team has kind of been fairly priced for much of the season. I think my favorite first glance is Shai Gilgeous-Alexander at 6,900. I like playing Shai in fast-paced games where he can get out in transition. I think this is one of those games. He leads this team in transition points per game at just around 4, and the Rockets have been just a dreadful transition defense all year long. 24 points per game in transition, most in the league, 4th most points per possession allowed in transition, 4th highest field goal percentage allowed in transition. You know, Harden's the type of player that will turn the ball over, will get you know, allow you to get steals. And there's no rim protection on this team, we know that. I like Shai a lot. Like, Van Vliet was the guy I like at this price range at point guard on Monday. I think Shai is my guy at this price range that I like here tonight. What do you think of him and the rest of the I keep saying Rockets because Chris Paul, I just keep thinking Chris Paul's still on the Rockets for some reason. But yeah. The Thunder.
Yeah, so basically the way I'm assessing the Thunder is I'm going to have one of Chris Paul, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, or Dennis Schroeder in every lineup. I probably won't want any more than one of them, but I really like this matchup for them. Obviously, it's a great matchup. I think they're all going to play significant minutes. I gave Chris Paul 38, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander 40, and Dennis Schroeder 33. So I think Schroeder, the price on FanDuel at 5,700 is very cheap. I think that's a really strong value. One thing I've been saying all year is that I think Dennis Schroeder and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander are very similar players when it comes to DFS perspective. They have very similar rebound rates, assist rates, and point per minute rates. The only difference is that Dennis Schroeder is a slightly higher usage player, and then Shai Gilgeous-Alexander just plays a lot more minutes. So I think they're both really good plays. And Dennis Schroeder, you're kind of getting like a knockoff Shai at, you know, a little bit discounted ownership. Now, I would much rather just play Shai on DraftKings, but on FanDuel, you get a little bit of a discount. So I think all three are good plays. One guy that I'm really going back and forth on is Danilo Gallinari. Guy that, you know, we haven't really seen play a ton of minutes. I believe in the first game the second game in the restart, he played 29 minutes. So, you know, if that is going to be something that he's at, maybe I don't love it, but it's the playoffs and he's going to be starting. He's going to be one of their, maybe not main scorers, but he's going to be a secondary scorer for them. I assume it's going to be very easy for them to run him out there at the five if they wanted to do that. I think Gallinari is a guy that if he's in the mid-30s in minutes, I think he's one of the better point-per-dollar plays on the slate. On FanDuel, where he's only 5,200, it's in a position that I like kind of being in that mid-range with my second option. So probably go Giannis and LeBron and then be somewhere in this, you know, 4 to 6K range on FanDuel. And Danilo Gallinari is a guy who I could really see him playing 33 to 34 minutes if they wanted to. The only issue is I don't know where they're at with what they want to do with his minutes. So I don't know if you have any opinion on what they're going to do with him there. But if he's in, you know, 32 to 34 range for minutes, I like him a lot.
Yeah, you definitely talked me into Schroeder. He's been really good in this matchup this year. 33.5 DK points. I guess it's not really good, but for his price, it's fine. And I looked at Schroeder's ADVP. Rockets 29th against primary ball handlers and 28th against bench players. That's good for Schroeder. Well, I would imagine they still won't come off the bench. And these guys, like these bench players like Schroeder, Lou Williams, they're probably going to close games that are competitive.
Yeah.
So their minutes will be higher than normal, especially since it's the playoffs. And the other thing with the Rockets is, like, because they play small and they just play that five-out offense and you know, P.J. Tucker and Covington are sitting in the corners taking threes, and they take so many threes, it tends to generate longer rebounds. Like, you could see these point guards getting more rebounds against the Rockets. So, like, you could get an outlier peripheral rebounding game from Schroeder. Chris Paul has always been a, you know, an above-average rebounding producer for a point guard. But, yeah, I think you might have just talked me into Schroeder slightly over SGA. They're my two favorites, though. If you get to Chris Paul, absolutely nothing wrong with him at 7,700. No. Gallo, I probably will have some exposure to, but he's not a core play for me or anything. And then I still don't want to play Steven Adams. This game could go small, which could hurt him. They've limited his minutes all year. It is the playoffs. Could they bump him up? Sure. But at 6,400, like, you may get similar minutes between him and Brook Lopez, and there's too much of a price difference for me to not just go to Brook Lopez.
Yeah, they could very easily just play Steven Adams 20 minutes this game. They could easily do that. It's just about what they want to do as a team. And I don't know if Gallinari getting, you know, mid-30s minutes is a part of that their plan, but they could for sure do it with no problem.
If this was the Clint Capella Rockets, I would love Steven Adams here.
Yeah,
but
right.
It's just a completely different – not completely different. They still play in the same way, but the spacing's even better for them now that Capella is not there.
Yep.
All right, last game. Really, really excited for this game. Portland gets into the playoffs after the play-in game against Memphis, and they take on the one-seed Lakers. Anthony Davis and LeBron, they've been probable on the injury report for a while. They're playing. Don't get it twisted. And we did get word that for the Portland Trailblazers, Zach Collins is out. Portland's going to start Wenyen Gabriel at the power forward, probably for defensive purposes. They don't want Melo at the four against Anthony Davis, I would imagine. So they'll start Damian Lillard, TJ McCollum, Melo at the three, and then Gabriel and Yusuf Nurkic at the four and the five. Let's start with the Lakers. Davis and LeBron, smash plays, smash matchup. You don't even need to do it because you obviously know the matchup's great and everything. But LeBron's ADVP is just all green. So that's all it is.
Yeah, so typically for me, AD projects better. For me, whenever these two are, you know, in similar spots where, you know, either one could go off, but yada, yada, yada can go on, it's typically Anthony Davis that projects better. But today it's LeBron, and it's really not close. So on FanDuel, it's a little bit closer due to, you know, the, you know, blocks, steals, 3 points for Anthony Davis, whatever, but it's a 6-point difference on DraftKings, which I know might not sound like that much, but from a projection standpoint and from how close I've seen these guys be all year, 6 points is pretty significant in my opinion, based on my personal projections, obviously. So now I think LeBron and Davis are both phenomenal plays. I think Davis is a very strong play on FanDuel, where, you know, you have the positional stuff where, you know, LeBron plays the same position as Giannis. It might be hard to get both those guys in. So I like Davis probably slightly more on FanDuel, where the scoring kind of favors him a bit. But on DraftKings, I think they're both very strong plays. I probably don't want to play both of them together, because at this rate, if you're playing both of them together, you can just get Giannis or Harden in that lineup. So I don't probably find myself doing that, but it's a smash spot for them. I know you mentioned some of these wings that you have interest in, like KCP and Danny Green potentially as low-owned flyers. I don't mind that. I would probably lean KCP. I think he just can do a little bit more scoring.
Yeah, I would lean him too. I think he's – if you ask me to just quickly pick who I think sees more minutes, I would probably lean KCP.
Yeah, I give KCP 3 more minutes than Danny Green. So the way I kind of wish this slate was priced is where I just wish Kuzma wouldn't have gone off in that last game and we would have gotten him.
Yeah, I wanted your take on him because he was coming off he's coming off the bench all year. He rarely played 30 minutes when this team was, you know, full at full strength. But we're in the playoffs now, so, and like, he really is the X factor for this team. This, like, I could see the Lakers winning the title. I could also see them not, because Kyle Kuzma's, you know, really inconsistent, and they don't have scoring outside of LeBron and AD.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. I think Kuzma is overall really good for DFS purposes. Well, not really good. He's solid for DFS purposes, and he does pack a pretty significant upside punch. He is very inconsistent, though, so it doesn't necessarily translate to great real-life basketball. But, yeah, I think they're going to give him minutes. You know, we saw it in that last game where they started him. I don't think he'll start here. He could. I wouldn't be surprised. But I don't know if they'd necessarily do that in the playoffs. But either way, I think they will find ways to get him minutes. You know, we saw them draw up a play to get him the last shot to, I assume, get the confidence going for him to go into the playoffs. So I have him at 33 minutes. I would not be surprised to see that over a little bit. Probably not significantly higher than 33, but I just wish the price tag was lower. I just, that price tag at 6.3 on FanDuel, 6.4 on DraftKings, I just don't love it there.
Yeah, it's not a bad price tag, but it's not like an attackable price tag.
Yeah, I think it just limits his upside a bit. You know, if he goes out and puts, you know, 35, like, is that, you're really thrilled about that? So if at 4K, 4.5, you like that score. So I just think it caps the ceiling a little bit, but overall I don't hate it. You know, on DraftKings, you know, if you have 6,500, I'd probably prefer Covington over Kuzma for the raw points. But I don't hate Kuzma by any means. I just wish he was a little bit cheaper.
Any, like, Alex Caruso or anybody?
No, I think the wackiest I would get with the Lakers is KCP. But I don't think I'll find myself doing that too much.
All right, Portland. Pretty much an 8, maybe 9-man. They were a 9-man rotation last game, but that was with Zach Collins playing. He only played like 8 minutes, and now he's out. So it could be an 8-man rotation here. We know Dane's playing 40 minutes, most likely, you know, if the games are competitive. We know McCollum is. We know Nurkic probably is, if he stays out of foul trouble. Damian Lillard, because he's just on a complete tear, is priced at 11.4. He's the second highest priced player on the slate behind James Harden. This is a tough matchup, but he is. There's certain players when they're out to prove something and they're on, I'm scared to fade. Damian Lillard's one of those guys. Thoughts on Portland? Like, they're really interesting here because we know the Lakers are and have been arguably the best defensive team in the NBA all year. I know Avery Bradley's not there, but they're still, you know, they still have KCP and Danny Green. LeBron has been way more active defensively, which has been huge. And then Davis, JaVale, and Dwight offer great rim protection. How would you rank Portland here? Because they're not cheap.
Yeah, so for me, it's just really hard to prioritize Lillard on this slate where we have Giannis, LeBron, Harden. I just can't do it, and Anthony Davis. So I just can't do it there. The price tag on DraftKings is just far too high. I get it. You know, it is Damian Lillard. He can go off, and he definitely has that fire underneath him right now. And it's the playoffs. He's going to play. I have him for 42 minutes. So that's obviously, I'm very bullish on his minutes. So, but for me, I just can't do it at that price tag. I just feel more comfortable with Giannis and LeBron and Anthony Davis and James Harden. So for Damian Lillard to pay off this price tag, he legitimately needs to put up, what, 50 real points? Because it's not like he does a whole lot outside of scoring. So obviously he can do that any given night, but he needs like 40 to 50 real points for you to feel like you really got away with playing Damian Lillard at this price tag. So I don't think I play Damian Lillard much tonight. I actually have some interest in CJ McCollum. The price tag is a little bit higher on him as well, but he's also going to be a guy that's going to play 40 minutes. I know people might be a little bit weary on him because of his, you know, broken bone in his back, but they're playing him 40 minutes still, so it can't be hindering him that much, right? I mean, I'm sure it's not comfortable, but, you know, played 44 minutes in that play-in game, 43 against Brooklyn. He's been over 38 in every other game in the bubble, so I'm really interested in McCollum here. I think he's a strong pivot play, and if you don't have Damian, it makes a lot of sense to have McCollum. I also like Nurkic a pretty good amount.
I think he's one of the most interesting players in the slate because of the position and the matchup and the minutes. And, I mean, he fouls a lot.
Yeah.
That's a little, like, I could see, I know it's the playoffs, but, like, if he's in foul trouble, it's going to hurt his minutes a little bit. And on a slate where a lot of guys are playing the ceiling in minutes, like, if he plays, you know, 36 instead of 41, that's massive.
Yeah, if the If the Trailblazers are going to win this series, they're going to need Nurkic. I mean, obviously they're going to need Lillard and they're going to need McCollum, but they're going to need Nurkic maybe even more than a guy like McCollum. So they're going to need him on both ends of the floor. They're going to need him on the floor often. So I like him a lot. The only issue is the price for him and the position that he's at, because obviously I want to get Harden and Giannis and all those other studs in my lineups here. So that's the only issue that I have with Nurkic. He's my ideal center. He's my optimal center. So maybe I'll have to take away a stud to get him in there, but I do think he's a strong play. The only issue is that he's priced up, or not priced up, but he's just in that mid-tier to kind of expensive tier where I'm trying to pay up for maybe two, maybe three studs if possible, probably just two of them, but it makes it tough for him, but he's definitely optimal for me.
Last five games, Yusuf Nurkic averaging 5.5 fouls a game. It's a little bit scary when you're facing LeBron and Anthony Davis.
Yeah.
Then you have Carmelo Anthony, going to play at the three, going to, you know, take plenty of shots. Gary Trent's interesting coming off the bench because he's still going to play huge minutes. They're on such a tight rotation, and he's going to have a lot more usage with the second unit. Now, again, they're gonna have one of McCollum or Lillard on the floor at all times, you'd imagine. Yeah. But it's better than being on the floor with both of them if you want that usage. And he's been shooting the ball really well from three, gives you that, you know, potential on a site like DraftKings. 5,200. He's one of the more, you know, value options from this team. Any interest in Trent or Melo? And I mean, would you take a flyer on Gabriel?
Yeah, so I think Gabriel, I really think he's okay on FanDuel, where, you know, you have to play two power forwards, and one of them I would like to be, you know, either Bam or Anthony Davis. He's min price over on FanDuel, so I think he's fine over there. I'm going to do a little bit more looking into what I think this rotation is going to shake out to be, but I have him at 23 minutes right now. That just feels like it might be a little high, because I have guys like Melo, Trent, Nurkic, all in the mid-30s, and then I have McCollum and Lillard in the 40s. So it feels like it could be difficult for Gabriel to hit, you know, mid-20s minutes. So I might have to scale back his minutes a bit. But I like Gary Trent and Carmelo a pretty good amount. Like I said, I'm not going to be playing Damian Lillard. I don't want to say not at all, because it's Damian Lillard. So if I had 10 lineups, I'm going to for sure have Damian Lillard. But, you know, I think Melo and Trent, pairing one of those two guys with a guy like McCollum, kind of makes a lot of sense if I don't have Lillard. Because if Lillard's not scoring, you know, 40 or 50 points, McCollum, Melo, Trent are probably going to have to put up some points. So even if they do, even if Lillard does go off, these guys can get theirs too. So I probably prefer Melo at that position on FanDuel and at that price. But there are a lot of guys in that range. Not necessarily a lot of guys in Gary Trent's range that I love. So at 4-5 on FanDuel, I like him a lot.
Yeah, I like him a good bit too. I wasn't home for most of the day, so I only got to watch the end of the Denver-Utah game. But I will be home on Tuesday, and I am telling you, I am looking forward to watching all these games all day. Like, this bubble format, I really enjoyed the bubble. It's been pretty awesome, not gonna lie.
Yeah, not much better than just, you know, I guess we're you get to sit and do sports all day while watching sports, which is really cool. So like, I'll be doing baseball research and projections and stuff while watching NBA all day. It's really hard to beat that. And like I said in that podcast last night, it reminds me of college football, where we have bowl season and there's just football on all day, and it's postseason stuff. It's super intense. So if it's anything like today, it's going to be a good one for sure.
Yeah, and I'm not even sure if the Padres play on Tuesday, but if they do, Tatis already homered, I'd imagine.
Yeah, he's just an automatic lock for home runs, man. That guy's crazy.
Going to be another fun day of NBA action, NBA DFS content. Check it all at ftndaily.com. And, of course, check out any content, you know, bets, fantasy, football, basketball, baseball, hockey, tennis, League of Legends, UFC. I mean, you just name it, we have it. Kyle's got the show with Eddie. Is it 11:30 again, I'm assuming, since there's a 1:30 game?
Yeah,
cool, 11:30. Check that out. Hop in the Discord. Get some questions answered by these guys. They'll help you out. One takeaway from the slate before we get out of here. What is the, I mean, outside of James Harden, like, is it a slate where you just have to get two of those four studs to feel good?
Yeah, I think it is. And also, I think it is, there are some guys that are just a little bit underpriced that, you know, we saw that their teams not push them for minutes in the regular season, which won't be the case in the postseason. So keep an eye on those mid-tier guys as well that are going to be, you know, benefiting from the playoff atmosphere, where they're going to be shortened rotations, more minutes to go around. But yeah, I think you need to try to fit in two for sure, maybe even a third one. So
awesome. Well, there you guys have it. best of luck on Tuesday. Have a good one. Kyle and I will be back on Wednesday to break down the game twos from Monday's action. And again, check us out on iTunes. We're finally up there. Subscribe, rate, and review. We'll really appreciate it. Until then, best of luck. We'll see you guys on Wednesday.
Thank you for tuning in to today's episode of the FTN NBA Podcast with Adam and Joe. Please subscribe, rate, and review the podcast.